True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chicago. What do you say? Cubs gonna win today.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Shut up! I suspect we're gonna have a lot of fun. I don't know if the Cubs are gonna compete. They claim they want to, maybe at their price, which isn't really competing, but Shota, he's gonna be fun. He was introduced yesterday, and there he is starting the lyrics to the song at the appropriate time before a game is played. Cub fans, of course, like to sing the pregame song postgame, but you do you. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, no, we'll be here till 2. God, I suck. We'll be here till 2. At 1 o'clock, Mark Rohde will be here to talk about Bears Week. And also his appearance as Grauber, revisiting Grauber on the anniversary of Grauber's passing. Mark will host the Score overnights. We'll talk to him about that at 1. But now we're going to talk to Evan Altman. He joins me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Evan is the Ubermacher, the big hitter on Cubs Insider, and they're having the Cubs convention, and the Cubs could use more hitting, Evan, right? Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. They could also use some more pandering, right? Was that Imanago? that was the most epic. If you want to endear yourself to Cubs fans on the Friday before Cubs convention starts, uh-huh, you go all out and you pander like hell. It was great. So now they just need a hitter to come in and then sing something else, I guess.
Well, I would think that the problem with re-signing Bellinger is that gets you even, in my world, gets you even from last year. Now, you could argue Michael Bush makes them better, but let's evaluate that trade. What does it do? Who is this guy, as you know him, and what does this do for the Cubs, their lineup, and for the rest of what Craig Counsell is going to place around the field?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of folks, obviously, I think, are so much more familiar with Cubs prospects, right? So Jackson Ferris, highly rated prospect, a lot of folks had grown attached to him, and so that felt like a lot to give up, but In Ferris and Zaire Hope, the two guys they gave up, you're talking about production, you know, if everything goes really well, maybe in 2026, versus Bush being an MLB ready guy. And also Yency Almonte, I don't want to pass that up. I know his numbers have really fluctuated, but hard thrower, big slider, I think that's somebody the Cubs could use in the bullpen. But Bush in particular, we're talking about a lefty batter, probably going to be at one of the corners. I know first base and third base are both somewhat open, but his defense maybe makes him more of a first base prospect. Numbers with the Dodgers weren't great, but if you look at his MLB or his minor league production, it was incredible. And there's a case to be made. You know, a lot of people who have seen much more of him than what I have, and I don't want to profess to be an expert in that regard, but he's got a high contact approach. He does. That sounds odd because he does strike out a lot, but a lot of those strikeouts are due to being a really patient hitter. It's kind of like what we saw with Seiya Suzuki, where he'd put himself in these positions where he'd be in a two-strike count and then be forced to go after it. So if he's maybe a little bit more aggressive, which is what we saw with Suzuki when things took off in the second half, you're talking about a ton of pop from the left side and a guy who draws a lot of walks as well. So if things go well, big if, but he could be kind of a middle-of-the-order type of a guy who's able to help out that lineup for a couple years yet to come.
My guest is Evan Altman, Cubs insider. He's the editor, the Übermacher. He's the big guy, the big hitter. And speaking of big hitters, Christopher Morel, he's sort of a swing-and-miss hitter and a swing-and-miss fielder. And so what do they do with with Christopher Morel?
Yeah, and that was, interestingly enough, right, so that was a big question for Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer this morning. And they predictably danced around it very, very deftly, right? Didn't really get into it. But Hawkins made a very interesting analogy. Well, not saying certainly they're very different types of hitters, but he talked about Jose Ramirez with Cleveland. And when he was coming up, you know, didn't really have a spot. Couldn't play him at second because of Kipnis. Couldn't play him at short because of Lindor. And so you find room, though, for guys who have impact bats. And you know, as you noted, Morel does have a lot of swing and miss in his game, but you talk about a guy with pop, right? If you extrapolate his numbers out over a full season, that's the kind of guy that you need to have in there. But, again, very, very limited. I think it's going to depend largely on what they continue to do. Where do they end up putting Bush? Is that at first? I don't think they'll go after Matt Chapman, but what if they do? Well, then he's at third, and now Morel doesn't have a spot. He's the DH. So I think it's going to be a game of kind of wait and see. Let council figure out who fits best where. But one way or the other, I do think they want to have Morel in the lineup as often as possible.
Evan Altman is my guest. Cubs Insider is where you can find him, CubsInsider.com. We're talking about the Cubs, and we came into this segment playing Shota and playing his – working on the lyrics of Go Cubs Go. And he just seems like a whole lot of fun. And I'm here for a guy who is welcoming it, embracing Chicago, embracing all of that with both hands. And maybe I hadn't done my homework. That's quite possible. But the idea of a big deal over a guy who might be a number three pitcher, or is that wrong? Where do you slot him? Where do you think the Cubs are going to slot him? What's the translation from where he's come, the league he was in, to the league he's going to be in?
Yeah, and you know, I joked about his pandering, and I think that was that's pretty. And he also included the Ben Zobrist little nugget, which was tremendous. But what was impressive is the fact that, you know, he chose, like, he spent a ton of time working on those lines, speaking in English to introduce himself to Cubs fans from the start, which I think, and maybe I'm just, again, being a little overly optimistic, but that kind of speaks to me like his same bulldog mentality on the mound. Like, this is a guy who doggedly worked to learn those lines in order to introduce himself. He's a guy who works really, really hard on his craft. They call him the throwing philosopher. And you know, the stuff doesn't stand out as much as what we saw. Certainly, he's on that WBC team with Yoshinobu Yamamoto, with Shohei Ohtani. But this is a guy who started in the finals, right? This is the guy Team Japan chose. Some of that's how the lineup works, right? How the rotation fits in. But really, really interested to see what the Cubs are able to do, because, you know, stuff is going to play differently in the majors from what it did over an NPB. But the fastball is unique. Has more ride than any other similar type of fastballs that you see. He releases it from a really low slot, so it's released lower and ends up higher than the average major league fastball. So very, very interesting there. But then it's a matter of how does he tweak those secondaries? Doesn't spin the ball a ton, so I think they're going to have to work on some sequencing with him. But yeah, he slots in there probably in the middle. I think the real excitement, if we're following the Jed Hoyer, you know, value-based acquisition philosophy, is that they got him for about half of what people thought he was going to cost. So being able to do that and getting a guy who should slot in pretty well, has a unique pitch mix, should be a lot of fun, one way or the other, even if it's just, you know, listening to his quips and jokes about singing Go Cubs Go.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm here for all the Shota I can get. So what do you think the Cubs' vaunted pitch lab learned from, I'm loath to call the Jameson Taillon thing a disaster, but they tried to make him something he wasn't. He went back to being who he was, and he was better as who he was, not who the Cubs envisioned him. Maybe I'm simplifying that. Maybe that's too, that is not exactly how it happened. It's not a direct line. But what do you think the Jameson Taillon experience taught the Cubs, and especially with, as we were talking about, Shota coming in?
Yeah, I mean, if we go back, you know, exactly a year ago, Cubs convention last year, getting introduced to Taillon and hearing that he had already been working on this new sweeper, right? They were like, hey, based on X, Y, and Z, we think if you incorporate this, and I don't know if we can fully consider that disastrous, but it certainly didn't bode well for his early going with the Cubs, right? And I don't know if that was the pitch itself, if that was him taking focus away from other things, if the sequencing got out of line. But, you know, I do think there's something to be said for, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're willing to sign this guy for whatever it was, $68 million for 4 years, you probably shouldn't try to add a new pitch right out of the gate, right? That you signed him because of what he is at that age. It's not like we're talking about an 18-year-old out of high school and what he can be. So there's a measure of that that says maybe we don't use this to tinker so much in a big way, but maybe we fine tune things. And I think with Imanaga, that's where it comes down to again, is, you know, he's got the fastball, he's got a splitter and a cutter and a slider and a curve, but which of those, you know, do you focus in on maybe one little thing? And maybe it's not so much trying to add a whole new pitch as how do these best play off of one another? And maybe we change those percentages based on MLB hitters and how they slug versus maybe what he was facing in NPB. So again, interesting to see, but I do think they've kind of learned to maybe work with finer tools a little bit than kind of trying to carve with a chainsaw.
Do you know what Craig Counsell's influence or contributions, or what he, how likely he is to tread into the pitching area, how unlikely he is, what he did in Milwaukee?
Yeah, he's spoken a couple times about that. It was interesting listening to him this morning. You know, and they talk about, he went to Jed Hoyer and said, hey, if you're hiring me as a strategy guru, don't bother. Like, that's not who I am. Like, I think I'm pretty good at that. But, you know, largely he seems like a guy who wants to find out how people tick, who wants to create an environment where players can be their best. And I think he's willing to not only take input from other people, but kind of just sit back and again, see how things play out and then put guys in the best positions to succeed. So whether that's the rotation, I mean, it sounds like he really wants to go with, it probably won't be a set five-man rotation. The thing we saw in Milwaukee where he was giving more breaks to Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns and guys like that as needed, right? His goal is not, you know, what's this next inning? You know, the next inning is not as important as the next game, as the rest of the season, right? So how do you go about setting these guys up for success? So I do think we're going to see maybe fewer set spots and more just how do I best put these guys in a position today, tomorrow, and the next day to be able to make it work, both in the rotation and the bullpen. So I think he's going to be very, very involved in that, but, you know, not so much the minute, the granular stuff on what this pitch is that this guy's throwing in this spot, but how do we set this whole thing up to last the whole season?
Well, the one thing that never lasts a whole season is the bullpen. And it always seems to get turned over, give or take one or two bodies, but it gets turned over. There are so many Yency Almontes out there, and they all seem to show up and get their government cheese, and then they're gone. How far away from an opening seasoned bullpen are the Cubs, in your opinion?
They can't be that far away at this point because they have so many guys that they've either added or kept who are out of options. That was the one thing that was kind of when the trade was first announced, it was Almonte. We hadn't heard about Bush yet, and that seemed a little bit odd because, again, he's out of minor league options. It's either he's either on the roster or he's gone. And similarly, Julian Merriweather and Mark Leiter Jr. and a lot of these guys, they don't have a lot of room to add. Robert Stevenson's a guy who myself and a bunch of other people liked for the Cubs bullpen. We thought there were possibilities that Hoyer was going to be a little bit more open to, you know, multi-year deals versus kind of going out and finding these journeymen or piecemealing together the bullpen. I know a lot of people still think Josh Hader's a possibility. I'm not sure where I fall on that, really. But I don't think they're that far off. And I think we could even see them lean into some guys, not only to help out with the rotation, you know, whether we're talking about Cade Horton, Ben Brown, some other kind of top pitching prospects. But I think those guys could possibly be brought up to help in the bullpen to sort of bring them along a little more slowly. So it's going to be definitely a committee type of an action. And we're going to see a bunch of guys cycled through there. So I don't know how much they add, but I do think a lot of the guys from within the organization are going to come up and help out from the minors as well.
Yeah, well, you need that's like the storm emergency kit. You always got to keep keep water and blankets and trail mix in the car and in the trunk and in this and in that, because that's what your bullpen turns into over the course of a season. So that's why I asked about counsel and the pitching and handling the bullpen, not just the starters, but now you're juggling the bullpen. And if your starters aren't what you think they are, then your bullpen's going to get overworked, and now you're going to be running more through there. And the point of Milwaukee was he did that very well, and he probably, I would say, had better with Burns. And I mean, he probably had better options in Milwaukee than he does here, or no? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the top line, if you look at their top three starters as a group, although the Cubs have really, really solid starting depth now. There's not, you know, I would say that all things being equal, Justin Steele is best served as a number two if they had a true ace, you know, if you look at it that way. But certainly 1 through 5 right now, and then you've got guys like Javier Assad, you've got, you know, Drew Smyly struggled and went back to the bullpen, but obviously still there as depth. But that was another thing that Council talked about, right? Was and the bullpen in particular, not necessarily having, hey, these are my roles that I know where everybody's going to be coming out of spring training, right? You're 6th inning, 7th inning, you're the closer. I do think that last spot belongs to Alzolay, but I think when it comes to, he seems to be really good, not just at looking, again, I mentioned that earlier, at strategy, but knowing who these guys are as people, understanding where they're at, you know, emotionally, physically, all these other things that can play into it that we probably never see from the outside. But he's really, really good when it comes to managing. This is what he said. I'm a manager. I manage people rather than just baseball players. And so I like that aspect. I like the fact that I think he understands where guys are at, and he goes about it in a way not just to maximize how well they're performing on a given day, but how well they're going to be able to perform again as a starter in 4 or 5 days, right? As a reliever in that certain situation. So I that is something that I think we're going to have to see play out over time, but I'm really looking forward to how it works.
You're killing me, Smalls. So the most important thing Evan tweeted out today, for those of you who missed it, is that Craig Council's favorite baseball movie is The Sandlot, which Mark Rohde hates because he thinks it's a movie about a dog and a ball. And that Craig Council was in Major League because they were holding tryouts. They're holding a casting call in Milwaukee. Bob Uecker won the casting call. I think that's pretty clear from Major League. So is that true? Is that something I had not seen that before, Evan?
Yeah, he said he was only like 16 when it had come out. So he went out and tried to audition to be one of the players, but was, I think, was offered like the role of an extra or something like that. So he was like, no, I don't want to do that. But yeah, he went to audition for Major League. So, you know, I forgot that it had been filmed in Milwaukee. That just has such a weird feel to me. I'm like, it feels so Cleveland for obvious reasons. But then they, you know, the magic of Hollywood, taking another place. It's weird that there weren't more Cubs fans in the stands, I guess, in that situation.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. I'll call you back. I got a guy on the other line asking about a set of white walls. I love Lou Brown. He should manage. All right. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate your time. Thanks for your time today.
All right. Have a great rest of the show.
All right, you too. Thanks. Well, you can't. You just had a great show. He's Evan Altman, CubsInsider.com. Take a break when we come back. 312-644-6767. A lot of people want to react to Justin Fields and what I thought, and Ryan Poles, and Kevin Warren, and what happened last night when Jerry Krause's widow was shown. The Bulls introduced a corpse. Bulls fans booed a corpse, made his widow cry. Stacey King, who was drafted by that man, was on the broadcast, had something to say. We'll bring that to you next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Levine, comes up shooting right side, three ball off the mark, rebound Kuminga, and Golden State will advance in right full court, and they're going to leave Chicago with a W as Billy Donovan, Steve Kerr meet at midcourt near sideline, ball game over. Golden State puts 140 points on the board. The Bulls score 131. But the Bulls lose by 9. It's off to San Antonio for a game tomorrow night.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
You take a step back and you watch the way the Bulls blew it, like an 800-point halftime lead. You'd think Eberflus was coaching them halftime. And the way it was like a 48-23 quarter that Golden State put on them. And given the booing of Jerry Krause, the corpse of Jerry Krause, Bulls fans booed a corpse and his widow cried, it might as well have been a ring night. It might as well have been ring night in the United Center where they lose the game. The memory of Krause got booed like the actual Jerry Krause. It's just, boy, Bulls fans staying so on brand, except, of course, the team sucks. I know they played better, but they still suck. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome in. Welcome back. Jerry Krause, the mere picture of him on the United Center video board. They're honoring part of their Ring of Honor, which seems now it seems like it was put together without much thought, without much planning. Hey, we got 6 weeks. We can throw this together. Let's party. Yeah. Who's got the hats? Who's got streamers? Yeah. They wanted to honor the 1995-96 team that went 72-10. Jerry Krause put together both three-peat teams, and that includes the 72-10 team. He put together that Bulls organization with everything except Michael Jordan. Jordan was there. Krause would change out the coach, the assistant coaches, the players, Jordan supporting cast, more players, Jordan supporting cast. And picture of him, mention of him. The corpse of Jerry Krause got booed last night. One of the players drafted by Jerry Krause, the player who has three championship rings, his name's on three different banners in the United Center, is Stacey King. Stacey was on the broadcast with Adam Amin last night, and here's his response to the booing of the man that drafted him and the man who oversaw both three-peats.
Chicago is a sports town. And what we witnessed today, when Jerry Krause's name was called, and the people that booed Jerry Krause and his widow, who was accepting this honor for him, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I hurt for that lady, brought her to tears, and whoever booed her in this arena should be ashamed of themselves. That's not Chicago. That's New York, Philly. Chicago's not like that. We don't have a reputation of being that way. And whether you like Jerry Krause or not, that man brought six championships here. He didn't shoot a basket, nor did he get a rebound, but he put six titles up in this ring. There's a lot of teams that don't even have one. And that was really classless. And I was disappointed in the people that booed. It was a sad thing.
Left a little bit of a pit in the stomach for what should have been a really celebratory 15, 20 minutes. And that didn't feel right, admittedly. And I'm with you on that, Stace.
Adam Amin and Stacey King. Stacey has probably stronger thoughts than that. That's what he could air. I'm sure Stacey probably would have other things to say more. Maybe bluer. But and Jerry Krause was made a target by Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. So if your only knowledge of Jerry Krause, Robbie, share again with the class your knowledge of Jerry Krause.
Hi, everybody. I suck. I'm Robbie. I'm 28. I'm from the city of Detroit. The only way I know about Jerry Krause and why people hate him is because of The Last Dance.
Yeah, which Michael Jordan had a lot to do with and a lot to shape, a lot about the shaping of which led you to believe Jerry Krause was the bane of everyone and everything and did all this, and he was evil. And, well, guess what? Jerry Krause did not break up the dynasty, which is one of the points that seemed to be hammered home. Phil Jackson broke up the dynasty, and Jordan was right there with him. They had their second three-peat, and the whole Last Dance was about the fact I had written this story. Michael Jordan said, I'm not playing for anyone except Phil. I'm not playing for another coach. I had brought up to Jordan a year earlier, I had brought up to Jordan in playoffs in 97, Eastern Conference Finals, before they started, I said, your contract has 3 years to run. Phil's has two. What's going to happen? Because I'm not playing for any other coach. Phil's not coaching. I'm not playing. Well, bang, zoom. There you go. There's your story. There's your last chance. Maybe if the producers had done more about it, they would have gotten the guy who was the source of that story that became The Last Dance.
Yeah, how did you not get on? I feel like you would be call number...
Got a face for radio, not a face you want to put on television.
No, you got it. Okay, maybe you're right.
So, the way you learned about that, if you watched The Last Dance, Jerry Krause was wrong. He did everything wrong. So, Phil Jackson could have come back. He said, no, I was done. That's it. Third one, it was too much of a struggle. I don't want to do this anymore. So he knew if he wasn't going to coach, Michael wasn't going to play, there was going to be nothing. Then the NBA locked out its players. And while the lockout was going on, Michael Jordan cut his right index finger with a cigar cutter. And that would be that. He wasn't going to be Michael Jordan, not in the most immediate future anyways. So that was it. That's how it ended. You can watch television and think you know everything. Some of us who lived through it, some of us who reported on it, some of us who broke news, no different. Jerry Krause should be celebrated and lauded. He should not be treated the way he was. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Chris. How you doing? Chris, welcome to The Score.
I'm doing great, Steve. How about you?
Oh, I am so groovy as to be considered bitching.
Okay, well, this might turn into a discussion because You might be able to educate me. Okay, I'm 55 years old. I lived through that, and I was a pretty strong Krauss critic. That being said, obviously I would never boo the woman that was there. So that's kind of my first point. Second point is, the Bulls should have known that was going to happen. I mean, I think that whole thing was set up to fail. I think I've seen people tweet out things like they should have showed her first and then maybe done that. But I'm interested to hear your perspective, because just as a 28-year-old or whatever the heck I was back then, I was thinking, Jerry Reinsdorf is choosing this general manager over perhaps two or the three greatest assets that have ever been in the basketball, you know, whether coaching or playing. Okay, so has it been rewritten that they all wanted to come back? Because, you know, that's the impression that we get. So Jerry Krause, I've never had an issue with. It's more Jerry Reinsdorf.
And that's understandable. Chris, I appreciate the call. Thanks. Phil wanted Jerry Krause's job, and thought he could do it better. And then when he tried to do it in New York, he failed miserably. Perhaps he has a new appreciation for Jerry Krause. Maybe he doesn't. Michael Jordan took over ownership, running clubs. They were embarrassments. It was an awful depiction of basketball when Michael Jordan was the head of the Hornets. So they couldn't do Jerry Krause's job, but Phil wanted it. And that was maybe what wore out Phil. I don't want to do this fighting anymore. I don't want to be here. I want that job. I can do it better. And the chairman stuck by the people. He was loyal. Krause certainly repaid the chairman's loyalty. And Jerry Reinsdorf, whatever you want to fault him for, until this Chris Getz thing, he's generally said, well, this guy does this really well. Krause does this really well. I want him doing this. You coach really well. I want you doing this. You play basketball really well, Michael. I want you doing this. And that's it. You're untradeable. I don't want you leaving from the sideline. And you, I want you in the office making deals and drafting. So that's the way it operated. And when Jackson and Jordan wanted to change it, they made him a target. If all you did was watch The Last Dance, or you just read, casually, then you think Jerry Krause is just this satanic creature. He was drinking the blood of all other two guards. I mean, it's crazy. Jerry Krause was, I mean, these were the only guys poking fun at Jerry Krause, that's for sure. Players did it because they got the okay from the coach and from Jordan. There was one time where Horace Grant, he was Dennis Rodman 1.0, Horace Grant, or Dennis Rodman was Horace Grant 2.0. You need a rebounder for Jordan and Pippen, and first three were Horace Grant, the next three were Rodman. So Horace Grant's going to become a free agent. He's on the verge of it. He did not resign. Jerry Krause did not resign him. And so one time he and Pippen walked into the Birdo press room, and in talking about what the future held for Horace Grant, he said, well, the Bulls didn't resign me. I bet Jerry Krause would kick himself if his legs were long enough. Everybody thought it was okay to make fun of Jerry Krause. And yes, you're winning. It is. And whatever. You got the okay from your coach and from Jordan. Jerry Krause didn't break up the dynasty. I hate to disabuse you of your long-held, whatever you think is legend, is not necessarily truth. 312-644-6767 is the number. Top of the hour, Mark Grody. We'll talk Bears with him. 125, we found Hub. He could not hide from us. We found him. We will be back to talk with him at 125. So there you go. You got a thought on the Bulls? Jerry Krause. Oh, and by the way, Chris, before I didn't want to let this go. The Bulls are at fault. You had mentioned this, and I had mentioned this about an hour and a half ago when I began the show. The Bulls definitely are at fault here. There has to be some institutional knowledge that the guy who got booed on ring night and at parades and everywhere possible, even in memoriam, even in death, even as a corpse, will get booed again. You had some choices. Maybe you don't introduce him at all, because you brought in Luke Longley from Australia. Didn't introduce him. He didn't get to bathe in the cheers. He didn't get to hear it once more. Fans didn't get to shower him with cheers once more. You bring in guys from that team and they don't get to hear the noise. You've screwed up. And you're going to introduce the guy, you're going to introduce the corpse who you know gets booed at every turn. Well, guess what? Bulls marketers, marketing geniuses, you have failed miserably. You're wearing this stain as much as the fans who booed because they're brainwashed by Jackson and Jordan. It's understandable. They're brainwashed. Brainwashed by the Coogie-wearing forefathers who were there during the first three-peat. Take a break. 312-644-6767. We're the score. Chicago Sports Radio, 670.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Robbie, is this in honor of me? You're still damn good.
You always won.
Yeah.
Every time you play, it's the best.
Yeah, there's your Michael Jordan tribute. Mike Mulligan has some story about placing bets. Should ask Molly about those placing bets stories. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Steelers-Bills game scheduled for Buffalo amid, the 65-mile-an-hour-plus winds scheduled for tomorrow has been moved to Monday. And now Tim Graham of The Athletic, a Buffalo-based reporter, says his sources tell him Tuesday is also in play for that game. So whatever, we're just getting soon. The NFL will play on every day, playoff game on every day, and they'll own the week, and we just will never go to work again, which would be okay.
That's fine with me. I love my job.
Got a text here, 312-644-6767 is the text number. 708, Bears could draft Jesus Christ and they would ruin him. Forgive them, Father, for they really are morons. Yo, they could. They could draft him. And has Jesus declared for the draft? Do we know? Is he?
No, not yet.
No, neither him nor Caleb Williams have declared for
the
draft.
He will be back in April, though, so maybe.
Jack, you're on the score. Why?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Okay. Jordan Love, we're a Midland team, destroyed the Bears' defense. Can you imagine instead of playing Vegas, Arizona, Washington, Atlanta, if they were to play teams like Frisco, Buffalo, Dallas, they would have won four games. Eberflus would have been fired. I know this, you know this. And you know that the general manager knows this, and he didn't care. He kept them anyway. The only reason, and he's telling people they're a top five defense. He knows that's a lie, too. And everybody buys it. And the reason that this happens is if you work for a large company, and the Bears are a large company, and you own it, and you don't know anything about your product, and you hire people, they take advantage of you. And that's what they're doing. Until the McCaskies get rid of this team, it'll always be the Chicago Bears.
I appreciate the call, Jack, and I think you're 100% right. I appreciate the thought. I appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for making the point. And that's true, because Kevin Warren got McCaskied, or we had him all wrong. If we thought he was going to make a difference, think big, swing big, he just thinks small. He is a bespoke empty suit. Sorry. He does nothing for me. He did nothing to move the meter. In fact, there was something, if you connect all the dots, kind of embarrassing. I'll connect them for you. Talks about the Rams. I saw that. We kept Dick Vermeil after 3 years. And I, oh. And they won a Super Bowl in it. Really? Okay. Well, let's set the record straight. Dick Vermeil had a potential Hall of Famer as a backup. Dick Vermeil didn't know which quarterback to start. He finally had to start Kurt Warner when Trent Green got hurt. Dick Vermeil, this genius who was kept over to the third year, Kevin Warren would like you to believe, such great support and foresight. Dick Vermeil had a second-string quarterback who would be a future Hall of Famer. Nicely done. 312-644-6767 is the number. Tony from the South Side, welcome to the score.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to say, listen, Bulls fans are getting a bad rap, and it's unfair. Bulls fans have been the best. They go to these games when the Bulls absolutely suck for years, and they go all the time. It's almost a sellout every game, all right? This is the wrong story. The right story is that these people have hired people who have no idea about Bulls history and the way fans feel about Jerry Krause. They have people working there who have no idea about the history of the Chicago Bulls. Either that, or you got people who are unable or unwilling to say, no, this is a bad, terrible idea. This is a terrible idea. Not only do fans hate Jerry Krause, right or wrong, perception is reality. That's the way it is. And you don't have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen there for the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor. Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan is not there. Any Bulls fan worth his salt is going to say this is a fugazi celebration. Come on. The most important people of the Chicago Bulls are not here. Whatever the reason is, this was a disaster from the get-go. They have people working there who have no clue about the history, or they have people who are afraid to say no. This is the real story.
You know what?
People who are going to tell you no.
You know what, Tony? In a lot of ways, you're right. Here's where you're wrong. They do have people who know better. They do have people who have some institutional knowledge of what Jerry Krause meant. There were people who lived it, saw it live, saw it happen, just like I did. They do have people in that, or there's some institutional knowledge of people who know that. The chairman, for starters, the chairman of the whole damn thing, for starters, his son probably lived through it. Michael's making decisions. They know. They should have known. They could have figured out something. And if their dumb plan was to not introduce everybody from the greatest Bulls team ever, then how about not introducing the guy who might get booed, the corpse who might get booed? Jane from Philly, or Philly Jane. Are you calling from Philly?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Boy, I am. Now I'm bitching. I'm moving right up to totally rad that you called from Philly.
Well, I called because of what happened last night. The fans booing the widow. It's all over the news, right?
Yep. Okay. It made news here. We're aware of it.
Oh, well, it made news here, too.
Did it really? In what way? How was it cast? In which fashion?
Well, I knew about it because my son said, did you hear what happened at the Chicago Bulls stadium last night? I said, no. So he told me. I said, are you kidding? No. So I started looking online and reading different articles, NBC, AP News, even Fox News, CBS Sports. Somebody, and I think it was a reporter from Chicago, and I'm not going to quote anybody because I don't know the gentleman's name, but there was a quote within the body of the story, and, you know, I just thought it was laziness, too, on the part of the writer, but he said of the people booing, come on, this isn't Chicago, this is Philly, which is really the point of my phone call. Now, Philly fans may throw snowballs at Santa Claus, but they would never do it to Mrs. Claus, and that's my point. And I think the fans crossed the line booing that, she 87-year-old woman. I sitting there crying. I got to tell you, and I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
All right. Thank you very much. It's Steve Rosenblum. You've called Saturday Suckage. So, you know, you're staying on brand, Philly Jane. Okay. And there he goes. Was she done, Robbie? She didn't sound like she was done. Okay. All right. I appreciate the call. I love that. Hi, I'm calling this show and I have no idea who you are. Stan from Bellwood, I know who you are. Welcome to the score. Welcome back to the score. Happy New Year, Stan.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Long time no talk.
Yeah, see?
It's a brand new year, so I figured I'd better call in and renew my suckage because I don't want to lose my membership.
I appreciate that. It should be a lesson to all suckageers.
And you're right. I do know your name. We're longtime friends, mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we last spoke. I was moved to call in today. I wanted to weigh in on the Jerry Krause thing from last night. I wasn't there, but I was watching. But a couple of things that you said this morning really resonated with me. Full disclosure, you know, I'll say up front, I was no fan of Jerry Krause during the Bulls run during all those years. I'm a, 30, 40-year Reinsdorf detractor. And Krause did not do one thing to endear himself to fans back then. And I believe that an ovation would have been hypocritical. I didn't expect that. However, 6 championships and 25 years after the fact, the level of mean-spiritedness of those boos caught me by surprise. I agree with you. Krause is dead and gone. It's not like he was there and, you know, he was walking through the arena and waving at people. I had no idea where that came from. And I just feel terrible for his widow. And it's got to be The Last Dance. I think your producer is right. That's the only thing that I could think of. But I was floored. I was totally caught by surprise at the level of hate, you know, in that booing. I didn't expect that. And that is Philly-like crassness. I don't care what your last caller from Philly just said.
You got to love
and
a woman.
You know, people that were booing like that.
Yeah.
Should be ashamed.
Stan, I appreciate the call. Thank you for renewing your suckage, your loyalty suckage card. I got to take a break. And I think The Last Dance had a lot to do with it. And it was presented when you produce something, you get to tell your story. That's the way it goes. And that's not necessarily the truth. That's not necessarily the facts. So we'll take a break now. We're running a little late. We will get to Mark Grody. Mark Grody of the Daily Score, of the Score, covers the Bears. We'll talk Bears. And he'll do his grobber because he's going to do his grobber this week. We'll tell you about all the details. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Mark, by the way, was a co-founder of Saturday Suckage. See? There? All over the place. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Robbie, is this in honor of me? You're still damn good.
You always won.
Yeah.
Every time you place the bell.
Yeah, there's your Michael Jordan tribute. Mike Mulligan has some story about placing bets. Should ask Molly about those placing bets stories. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Steelers-Bills game scheduled for Buffalo amid, you know, the 65-mile-an-hour-plus winds scheduled for tomorrow has been moved to Monday. And now Tim Graham of The Athletic, a Buffalo-based reporter, says his sources tell him Tuesday is also in play for that game. So whatever, we're just getting soon. The NFL will play on every day, playoff game on every day, and they'll own the week, and we just will never go to work again. Which would be okay.
That's fine with me. I love my job.
Got a text here, 312-644-6767 is the text number. 708, Bears could draft Jesus Christ and they would ruin him. Forgive them, Father, for they really are morons. Yo, they could. They could draft him. And has Jesus declared for the draft? Do we know? Is he?
No, not yet.
No, neither him nor Caleb Williams have declared for
the
draft.
He will be back in April, though, so maybe.
Jack. You're on The Score. Why?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Okay. Jordan Love, when a Midland team destroyed the Bears' defense, can you imagine instead of playing Vegas, Arizona, Washington, Atlanta, if they were to play teams like Frisco, Buffalo, Dallas, they would have won four games. Eva Fuss would have been fired. I know this. You know this. And you know that the general manager knows this, and he didn't care. He kept them anyway. The only reason, and he's telling people they're a top five defense. He knows that's a lie, too. And everybody buys it. And the reason that this happens is if you work for a large company, and the Bears are a large company, and you own it, and you don't know anything about your product, and you hire people, they take advantage of you. And that's what they're doing. Until the McCaskies get rid of this team, it'll always be the Chicago Bears.
I appreciate the call, Jack, and I think you're 100% right. I appreciate the thought. I appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for making the point. And that's true, because Kevin Warren got McCaskied, or we had him all wrong. If we thought he was going to make a difference, think big, swing big, he just thinks small. He is a bespoke empty suit. Sorry. He does nothing for me. He did nothing to move the meter. In fact, there was something, if you connect all the dots, kind of embarrassing. I'll connect them for you. Talks about the Rams. I saw that. We kept Dick Vermeil after 3 years. And I, oh, and he won a Super Bowl in it. Really? Okay. Well, let's set the record straight. Dick Vermeil had a potential Hall of Famer as a backup. Dick Vermeil didn't know which quarterback to start. He finally had to start Kurt Warner when Trent Green got hurt. Dick Vermeil, this genius who was kept over to the third year, Kevin Warren would like you to believe, such great support and foresight. Dick Vermeil had a second string quarterback who would be a future Hall of Famer. Nicely done. 312-644-6767 is the number. Tony from the South Side, welcome to The Score.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to say, listen, Bulls fans are getting a bad rap, and it's unfair. Bulls fans have been the best. They go to these games when the Bulls absolutely suck for years, and they go all the time. It's almost a sellout every game, all right? This is the wrong story. The right story is that these people have hired people who have no idea about Bulls history. history and the way fans feel about Jerry Krause. They have people working there who have no idea about the history of the Chicago Bulls. Either that, or you got people who are unable or unwilling to say, no, this is a bad, terrible idea. This is a terrible idea. Not only do fans hate Jerry Krause, right or wrong, perception is reality, that's the way it is, and you don't have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen there for the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor. Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan is not there. Any Bulls fan worth his salt is going to say this is a fugazi celebration. Come on, the most important people of the Chicago Bulls are not here. Whatever the reason is, this is a disaster from the get-go. They have people working there who have no clue about the history, or they have people who are afraid to say no. This is the real story.
You know what?
People who are going to tell you no.
You know what, Tony? In a lot of ways, you're right. Here's where you're wrong. They do have people who know better. They do have people who have some institutional knowledge of what Jerry Krause meant. There were people who lived it, saw it live, saw it happen, just like I did. They do have people in that, or there's some institutional knowledge of people who know that. The chairman, for starters, the chairman of the whole damn thing, for starters, his son probably lived through it. Michael's making decisions. They know. They should have known. They could have figured out something. And if their dumb plan was to not introduce everybody from the greatest Bulls team ever, then how about not introducing the guy who might get booed, the corpse who might get booed? Jane from Philly, or Philly Jane. Are you calling
Hi.
From Philly?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Boy, I am. Now I'm bitching. I'm moving right up to totally rad that you called from Philly.
Well, I called because of what happened last night. The fans booing the widow. It's
yeah.
all over the news, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It made news here. We're aware of it.
Oh, well, it made news here, too.
Did it really? In what way? How was it cast? In which
well,
fashion?
I knew about it because my son said, did you hear what happened at the Chicago Bulls stadium last night? I said, no. So he told me. I said, are you kidding? No. So I started looking online and reading different articles, NBC, AP News, even Fox News, CBS Sports. Somebody, and I think it was a reporter from Chicago, and I'm not going to quote anybody because I don't know the gentleman's name, but there was a quote within the body of the story, and, you know, I just thought it was laziness, too, on the part of the writer, but he said of the people booing, come on, this isn't Chicago, this is Philly, which is really the point of my phone call. Now, Philly fans may throw snowballs at Santa Claus, but they would never do it to Mrs. Claus, and that's my point. And I think the fans crossed the line booing that 87-year-old woman. I sitting there crying. I got to tell you, and I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
All right, thank you very much. It's Steve Rosenblum. You've called Saturday Suckage, so you know you're staying on brand, Philly Jane. Okay, and there he goes. Was she done, Robbie? She didn't sound like she was done. Okay, all right. I appreciate the call. I love that. Hi, I'm calling this show and I have no idea who you are. Stan from Bellwood. I know who you are. Welcome to the score. Welcome back to the score. Happy New Year, Stan.
Yeah, happy New Year to you. Long time no talk.
Yeah. See?
It's a brand new year, so I figured I'd better call in and renew my suckage because I don't want to lose my membership.
I appreciate that. There should be a lesson to all suckageers.
And you're right. I do know your name. We're longtime friends. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we last spoke. I was moved to call in today. I wanted to weigh in on the Jerry Krause thing from last night. I wasn't there, but I was watching. But a couple of things that you said this morning really resonated with me. full disclosure, you know, I'll say up front, I was no fan of Jerry Krause during the Bulls run during all those years. I'm a, you know, 30, 40-year Reinsdorf detractor. And Krause did not do one thing to endear himself to fans back then. And I believe that an ovation would have been hypocritical. I didn't expect that. However, 6 championships and 25 years after the fact, the level of mean-spiritedness of those boos caught me by surprise. I agree with you. Krause is dead and gone. It's not like he was there and, you know, he was walking through the arena and waving at people. I had no idea where that came from. And I just feel terrible for his widow. And it's got to be The Last Dance. I think your producer is right. That's the only thing that I could think of. But I was floored. I was totally caught by surprise at the level of hate, you know, in that booing. I didn't expect that. And that is Philly-like crassness. I don't care what your last caller from Philly just said.
You got to love
and
a woman.
You know, people that were booing like that
should
be ashamed.
Stan, I appreciate the call. Thank you for renewing your loyalty suckage card. I got to take a break. And, I think The Last Dance had a lot to do with it, and it was presented. When you produce something, you get to tell your story. That's the way it goes. And that's not necessarily the truth. That's not necessarily the facts. So we'll take a break now. We're running a little late. We will get to Mark Grody. Mark Grody of the Daily Score, of The Score, covers the Bears. We'll talk Bears. And he'll do his grobber, because he's going to do his grobber this week. We'll tell you about all the details. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Mark, by the way, was a co-founder of Saturday Suckage. See? There? All over the place. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.